You are listening to the Proof Producers Podcast, where we reach the world with the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ with the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to experience a never-ending increase in every area of life. If you're ready for a revelation that will take you to the next level, you're in the right place. Here is your host, Pastor Augustine Mpemba Jr.
I'm going to start a series of teachings around one of, I believe, the most important subjects to talk about, which is your future. Say your future. Yeah. Who's looking forward for their future? Who wants to know about their future? Who wants to know what God is saying concerning your future? Yes. Amen. Most young people spend a lot of time worrying about their future. But thank God, God has a solution for your future. God has something to say about your future. And tonight, I believe God's going to speak to you. Amen? I titled this series, Fire for Your Future. Say, Fire for Your Future. Fire for Your Future, Keys to Be Youthful and Useful. Keys to be youthful and useful. Keys to be youthful, say youthful, and useful. You got it? Keys to be what? Youthful. Who wants to be youthful? I think that's important, right? And useful. They sound alike, right? But they're different. Hallelujah. God spoke to Jeremiah and told him, Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. I believe it's Jeremiah 33, right? Or 29:11, correct? All right. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to what? To prosper you. And not to what? Not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Hallelujah. God says, I have plans to prosper you. I don't have plans to harm you. I have plans to prosper you. I have plans to give you a hope and a future. I like that. God has plans for your future. God has plans for your tomorrow. God has good plans for your future. God has good plans for your tomorrow. Hallelujah. God has plans to prosper you, not to harm you. To prosper, say to prosper. Not to harm me. Hallelujah. I'm pulling back. I'm trying to teach because I get so excited sometimes. So I'm taking my time. Amen? Go ahead. Not to put you on the spotlight, but there you go. How do I position myself? How do I position my life to ensure that my future is secured? How do I position myself? What can I do now to position my life to ensure that my future is secure? What are the things I can put into place? What are the things that I can arrange and put into place to ensure that my future is secure? That's what we're going to talk about today. Anybody want to know?
Yes.
Anybody want to know?
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you something. Expectation, right, is the mother of manifestation. Amen. In other words, if you want to see God manifest himself in your life, you must come expecting. Amen. So I want this to be a dialogue. We're talking, we're friends, we're brothers, we're sisters, we're family. But I want us to see from God's word. But I want us to talk, so respond. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Good. Some of you are waking up. I believe we have Red Bulls by the lobby. No, we don't. I'm joking. All right. Number one, what can I do to position myself to ensure that my future is secure? Number one, maintain a quality spiritual life. And I put that as number one on purpose. You have to learn how to maintain. Say maintain.
Maintain.
Say maintain.
Maintain
a quality spiritual life. Come on, say maintain a quality spiritual life. You know, many people maintain a lot of things. They maintain their shape. They maintain their figure. I'm talking to someone, right? They maintain a lot of things. They manage a lot of things concerning their lives. But they never put emphasis on managing their spiritual lives. But it is the spiritual that controls the natural. Amen.
Amen.
Or to put it in more simple terms, what happens inside of you determines what comes out of you. Amen. If you woke up, if you ever woke up grumpy and not feeling good, then the day is like almost like messed up, right? Until you deal with what's going on inside of you. What will be happening outside won't be the best, right? But if you deal with what's happening inside of you, what happens externally ends up being good. Is that right? So when you learn to maintain, say maintain. I want to look at that word maintain. What does it mean to maintain? Carefully manage. Say carefully manage. Say carefully manage. Yes, carefully manage your spiritual life. What do you have in place now? What things have you put in place right now in your life? Ask yourself that thing. That ensure you have a vibrant spiritual life. I know you put one thing. I can answer that question for you. You're here tonight, so that's something you put in place. And you guys come here every week. So that's something good you've placed in your life that ensures you have a vibrant spiritual life. Correct? But what else do you have in life? Because this is only, 2 hours and we'll be out of here, right? But what else do you have in life? Because on a daily basis, things come at you in life. And you have to learn to face those things and come up on top and above. Amen? So what do you have in your life to ensure that you're maintaining a vibrant, say vibrant, spiritual life? Come on, talk to me. Say vibrant, spiritual life. Don't worry, I'll wake you guys up. Vibrant, spiritual life. Yes. What are you doing now? What things do you have in place to ensure that your spiritual life is vibrant? Some people's spiritual life is dull. No movement, nothing happening. They're like 400 pounds in the spirit. They can't move, they can't do anything. But some other people's spiritual life is vibrant. They're alive. They look like wisdom right there. Right? They're buff, they're built up. Amen, wisdom. I'm putting him on the spot. Right? But you got to learn to maintain a vibrant spiritual life. You have to put things into place to maintain a vibrant spiritual life. How important is your spiritual life to you? How important is it? How important is it? How important is it to pray on a daily basis? How important is that to you? We're being real, right? I know it's being quiet because we're being real, but it's important, right? How important is it for you to pray, to make contact with God on a daily basis? Have you separated time to pray? Have you separated time to study God's word? Have you really done it? Is your future important to you? Does your future matter to you? Because if it does, you prioritize God in it. He says, I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Those who prioritize God in their youth, those who prioritize God in their young age, are those who will see God when they are older. Those who will experience God in their old age. The Bible speaks of a man called Job. Job chapter number 29, verse 1 to 3. Job says, as in the days of my youth, where the candle of the Lord was upon me. Let's look at it. Job 29, I believe. Are you excited about your future? Is your future vibrant? Is it alive? Is it secured? Have you secured your future? Well, if you haven't, God's going to help you tonight. Amen. Job 29. Job further continued in this discourse and said, "Oh, that I were as in the months past, in the days when God watched over me." It says, "When his lamp shone upon my head, and when by his light I walked through darkness, just as I was in the days of my prime." Say my prime. My prime. The days of my prime. There was a day where Job was in his prime. You know, we're young adults, so we're between the age of what? 18, or 19 technically, to 35. We're in the days of our prime. You know, your grandma was once in the days of her prime. And your granddad was once in the days of his prime. You know. Job had a day where he was in his prime. And he said, in that day, when he was in his prime, when he was youthful, he says, the hand of God was upon his life. Hallelujah. The Bible says that Job was one of the most prosperous men of his time. You know what was the secret? He prioritized God in his youth. That was the secret. In the days of my prime. Let's look at it in the New Living Translation. Are you following with me? Are you following me? Talk to me if you're following me. Are you two following with me? I'll read from verse number 2. It says, I long for the years gone when God took care of me, when he lit up the way before me, and I walked safely through the darkness. When I was in my prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. Oh, don't you want that? God's friendship felt in your home. He says, in the days of his youth, the days of his prime, God's friendship was felt in my home. The Almighty was still with me, and my children were around me. My steps were washed in cream. Oh, I like that. I like that part. My steps were washed in cream, and the rock gushed out olive oil for me. Oh, hallelujah. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about how he was prosperous. God led him in his way. He was prosperous. He was rich and wealthy. In the days of his prime, he had close friendship with God. In the days of his youth, he had close intimacy with God. We're talking about how to secure your future. How to be youthful and useful to God. Number one, prioritize or maintain a vibrant spiritual life. You have to learn. You have to put things into place to maintain a vibrant spiritual life. Not just a spiritual life. Coming to church is not enough. I'll say that again. Coming to church is not enough. Coming to RGYA is not enough. I want to be like Job in the days of my prime when God's friendship was upon my home. My heart's desire is to walk with him. My heart desires to know him. And Job said, in the days of his prime, you know, the days of his prime for the girls is like, you know, between the age of, I'd say 20-ish, you know. They have like 7-year period. I think God allows for 7-year period where they're in their prime, you know. All the guys are chasing them, that kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you are there. Some of you are there, right? Everybody's looking at you. You know, if you walk in the grocery, someone is whistling, that kind of stuff. You're in your prime. You're feeling yourself. Am I talking to anybody? You guys are like staring at me. I'm talking to someone. I know I'm talking to someone. Amen. If you don't say amen, I'll call your name. Amen. She shouted amen. But that's what it is. In the day of your prime, You're feeling yourself. You know, you walk in church, you want everybody to take a look at you. You arrange yourself. You know, you came expecting eyes to be on you. The days of your prime. Job said in the days of his prime, he had close friendship with God. Do you have close friendship with God? Or are you just concerned about what you're wearing and what's happening? What you're posting on social media? Is that the prime of your concern? Do you have close friendship with God like Job? Are you walking with God? Do you have a relationship with God? Do you pray daily?
Yes.
Do you fast?
Well, sometimes.
I'm talking to everybody. I'm just like, I'm giving you a hard time. But it's important to maintain. Say maintain.
Maintain.
You see, it doesn't happen passively. Say it doesn't happen passively. Say this after me. Say things don't happen. Things are caused to happen. Come on, say it one more time. Say things don't just happen. Things are caused to happen. Amen. No one ever walks with God by mistake or by accident, right? A conscious effort, a conscious decision to walk with God. If you want to secure your future, now is the time to develop and maintain a vibrant, say vibrant, vibrant relationship, vibrant relationship, vibrant spiritual life, vibrant. I remember a testimony of Dr. Rodney and this, I think he's a Native American gentleman. I think it was a story, and that he was sitting in front. And then his response was, me don't want a small Holy Ghost. Me want a what? A big Holy Ghost. Yes. You maintain a vibrant spiritual life. Do people know that you know God? Like in your school, do people know that you know God? Do people know that you're a serious Christian? Do people know that you're on fire for God? Or are you too sophisticated for God? Are you too polished for God? Are you too woke for God? I don't know why I'm coming to you all the time. Right? Developing a vibrant spiritual life is the first key to securing your future in God. Hallelujah. You know, let me tell you a story. That God doesn't raise up sissies. You know, people think that walking with God is a waste of time. That serving the Lord is a waste of energy. Serving the Lord is a waste of years. People think like that. Young people think like that. Why should I go to church? Why should I serve the Lord? They think it's a waste of energy, a waste of time. That those people who are serving God, those people who are on fire for God, they don't know what they're doing. They've lost their mind. Well, we kind of have, but in a good way. Because serving the Lord is never at a loss. If you study the Bible carefully, every man and every woman that ever walked with God made an impact in their generation. I don't know about you, but I want to make an impact in my generation. I want to leave a mark in my generation. Hallelujah. I want to make a significant impact. I want to help as many people as I can. I want to lift as many people as I can. I want to restore hope to as many people as I can. I want to show as many people as I can. I want to lead them to Christ. I want them to see Jesus. Never at a loss serving God. Young people, it's never at a loss serving God. And this is our time. In your youth, in your prime, it's your time to invest time to developing and maintaining a vibrant relationship and a vibrant spiritual life. Hallelujah. I like what that scripture says. It says, in the days of my youth, when I had close friendship. Oh, I like that. Not just close friendship, not regular friendship. Close friendship. Me and God were best buds. Not in a weird way, but we're really best buds. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Say, I'm going to develop a close relationship with God. Say, starting from today, I'm going to develop a close relationship with God. I'm going to maintain a vibrant spiritual life. Hallelujah. Number two, how do you secure your future? Maintain quality relationships with people. This is so important. Learn to maintain quality relationships with people. You see, when God, Exodus chapter number 1, God speaks to Moses and says, hey, Moses, I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and I have come down to deliver them from bondage. Right? That's what God said. I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt, and now I have come down to deliver them. And then after that, we never see God. We see Moses. God uses Moses to deliver the people. Are you following me? God uses men to help men. When you pray asking God to help you, he sends someone. He connects you to someone. Because men and women are God's channel to helping other people. When God wants to help you, he sends someone. He connects you to someone. But you must be conscious. This is the danger that young people, this is one of the most dangerous things that young people do. They don't have a respect for relationships. They barely have respect for their parents, yet alone other relationships. But learning to maintain relationships is one of the keys to success. Learn to maintain good relationships with people. Those people who like to cut other people off, you're in trouble. You're cutting your future off. I say you're cutting your future off when you cut people off. God uses people. So if you cut everybody off around your life, who is God going to use to help you? When that Shunammite woman prayed and cried out to the Lord, God sent a man. God sent Elijah, a prophet, to help her. When that blind man prayed, God sent Jesus to help him. God sends people to people. Learn how to maintain good relationships with people. Now, and about this is, I'll talk about this a little bit because it's important. Everybody has weaknesses. You won't like everything about everybody. Are you following me?
Yes.
The people who God will send to help you, you won't like everything about them. In fact, they might annoy you a lot. But that's who God sent for you. So you better be wise and smarten up and learn how to maintain and manage that relationship. And see the good in people. See the God in people. Because if you're not able, Satan always tries to make you see the weakness in people. So you just shut them off. And in doing that, you shut God's channel to help you. Many people would have been ahead in life if they learned how to maintain relationships. If they learned how to control their anger. If they learned how to manage their ego. Because those people will say things you don't like, will do things you don't like. But that's the man and that's the woman that God sent for you. So you better manage that relationships. Your next elevation in life, your next promotion in life might strongly depend on that one person. You see why it's important to maintain relationships? Relationships are important. Say relationships are important. Relationships with people. Relationship with your fellow college students, for those who are in Bible school. Learn how to maintain those relationships. If you're not wise and you always get ticked off by what people say, you always think you're the one who's right, you always have an opinion about anything, people might not say anything, but people will X you in their mind And when there's an opportunity, they'll be like, I'll give it to this other person. But that opportunity was ordained by God to come through you. But because of your ignorance, you sabotaged it. But God is helping us tonight. Amen. God is helping us tonight. We're talking about fire for your future. Securing your future. How to secure your future. Keys to being useful and youthful. We'll get to the youthful part in a little bit. Amen. Acts chapter number 4. Acts chapter number 4, verse 20. If I can get the scriptures on the screen, I'll be really happy. Acts chapter number 4, verse 20. The Bible says, it says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We cannot speak of the things which we have seen and heard. Hallelujah. In other words, good. It says, for we cannot speak of the things which we have seen and the things which we have heard. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way of punishing them because of the people, since they all glorified God for what had been done. You know, these people had managed their relationships well with the people around them, that they could testify for them. And I like this. Who can testify about your life? This is a good question to ask yourself. Who around you can speak well of you? How many people will speak well of you? Young people, are you listening to me?
Yes.
It's getting quiet. Who can testify of your character? Who can testify of your integrity? Who can testify of your faithfulness and your loyalty? Who can testify of your hard work? Who can testify of your commitment? Can someone say something good about you? No, really, at work, like, do your co-workers speak well of you? Or they all have something negative to say about you? If they do, that's a problem. That's a problem. You're missing something. Daniel chapter 11, 32 says, they that do wrongly against the covenant shall he flatter. In other words, you know, if you choose to walk against the laws of God, you're bound to end in shame. But if you choose to align your life at a young age with the law of God, then like Job, you develop a close friendship with God and God helps you to prosper. Amen? So learning how to develop and to maintain good relationship with people is important. Now, I'm not saying some relationship won't fall off, but even when those things happen, what's the testimony? Did they fall off because of something you did? You couldn't control your anger? You said things you weren't supposed to say? Something good to know. Your next level in life, your next level in your workplace, your next promotion in life is at the mercy of a man or a woman. Who wants to grow up? Who wants to prosper? Who wants to advance in life? Who wants to do great things for God? You know, your next level, your next step to where you want to go is at the mercy of a man or a woman. I said, God uses men to help men. You hear what I'm saying? God uses people to help people. Very rarely, even in the scriptures, did he ever break that principle. Almost, I only have one account in my mind now, of when he by his sovereignty intervened to do something. All the other times, he used people to help other people. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Say, this is wisdom for your future. Say, this is wisdom for my future. Are you hearing clearly? Wisdom for my future. Maintain good relationships with people. Amen? Be humble enough to get corrected. Your life and your future depends on it. Really. Amen. Don't be egotistical. For the guys, don't swell up in ego. That's foolishness. Oh man, I'm grown. I know what to do by myself. That's the talk of a fool. For the ladies, man, I'm grown, you know. I got this all figured out. You've lost your mind. That's not how life works. That's not what the Bible says. When I was in high school, there's a scripture that kept quoting to us. He says, he who is stiff-necked after many rebukes shall have his neck broken. It's in Proverbs. You guys can Google it. I don't know where it is. I forgot. He says, he shall have his neck broken with no remedy. Did you hear what I just said?
Yeah.
He who is stiff-necked, in other words, you don't want to be corrected after many rebukes, you'll have your neck broken with no remedy. So it's good to receive God's wisdom. Proverbs chapter number 8. I think my message just flew away. Proverbs chapter number 8. Praise God. Is this blessing anybody?
Yes.
Proverbs chapter number 8. Hallelujah. Help me, media team. Thank you, Jesus. It says, does not wisdom... So you guys have it in the New King James, and I'll have it in the New Living. Amen? Are you ready to learn God's word?
Yes.
Is this exciting?
Yes.
Good. All right. It says, does not wisdom cry out? Ah. Man. And understanding lift up her voice. Verse 2. She takes... No, listen to this. Whenever you see she, it's referring to the personality of wisdom. Say wisdom.
Wisdom.
Wisdom is a spirit. When someone is wise, there's something called the Holy Spirit can reveal himself as the spirit of wisdom in your life. Right? And it's very important if you're going to have a vibrant future to have the wisdom of God in your life. Amen?
Amen.
So this is a portion of scripture where it's talking about this spirit of wisdom. Right? So he said, does not wisdom cry out? Then he says, she takes her stand on the top of the high hill. Besides the way. Just follow me. And slowly. Come back. Where the path meet. Verse 3. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city. At the entrance of the doors, verse 4. To you, O men. So in other words, wisdom. The wisdom of God is crying to men. He says, to you, O men, I call. Now the wisdom is speaking. And my voice is to the sons of men, verse 5. He says, O you simple. So if you're dumb and you're stupid, you don't know about your life. He says, O you simple. He says, understand prudence. And you fools, be of an understanding heart. In other words, be ready to learn. Young people, be open and ready to learn. Right? All right. He says, listen, for I will speak of excellent things. Oh, I like that. When you listen to the wisdom of God's word, he speaks of excellent things. Let me just continue, because if I keep stopping... There's so much. It says, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. It says, for my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Continue. It says, all the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. In other words, listen. It's worth listening. I speak truth. All my words are words of righteousness. Oh, hallelujah. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. Verse 9. It says, they are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Verse 10. Listen carefully. It says, receive my instructions and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. Oh my gosh. Hey, you know, our generation is trained to go secure the bag, get the money, which is important. Amen? But he's saying here, receive my instructions. This is wisdom speaking. Listen and receive what I'm... Listen. Receive what I'm telling you. My knowledge is better than choice gold. Verse 10, 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. And I'll tell you why. You'll see why. This is God telling you something that's very important. In other words, God's wisdom, God's instructions are better than rubies. You know what rubies are? You guys know what rubies are?
Yes.
Better than pearls, better than rubies. And all the things one may desire. This is God talking to us. It's everything a man can desire cannot be compared to wisdom. Are you following? We're talking about securing your future. Verse 12. Listen, say, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Let's go back to verse 12, and can you put it in the Amplified? We're doing a Bible study today. Is that okay?
Yes.
All right. Verse Amplified. It says, I, wisdom from God, make prudence my dwelling, and I find out knowledge and discretion. Verse 13. It says, the reverent fear and worshipful awe of the Lord includes the hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, the evil way, and the perverted and twisted speech I hate. In other words, God is saying, or wisdom is saying, I hate those things. Right? Then it says, counsel, I have counsel and sound knowledge. I have understanding. I have might and power. Go back to the King James, then we'll continue. 15. Amen. By me, kings reign, and rulers decree justice. Wisdom is saying, by me, kings reign. Great people come to me to get understanding how to rule other people. Isn't that similar to what Solomon prayed when he was about to be made a king? When God appeared to him and said, Solomon, what do you want? He says, give me wisdom. He says, I have a great number of people I have to guide. I need your wisdom. And God gave him wisdom. He says, by me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. Verse 16. He says, by me, princes rules and nobles, all the judges of the earth. Oh, wow. Did you know wisdom is in charge of helping all the judges and all the princes and all the kings? Did you know that? Verse 17. Listen to this scripture. Every day, when I grew up, this scripture was always being pulled out of context. Right? I don't know if you came from an African church, you understand what I'm trying to say. At least from my country. It says, I love them that love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. This, in fact, go to the original King James. That word diligently is right, but it says something else. Here, you see that? I love them that love me. Those who seek me early shall find me. Those who seek me early shall find me. God has given you the privilege to hear his word early. When you choose to seek him early, don't wait. I like saying, don't wait till you're 40, you're 50, You've messed up life. You've tried things and they haven't worked. Now you're coming to God. He will help you. But seek Him early. Find wisdom early. It is by me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes and nobles reign, all the judges of the earth. With me are riches and honor. Let's continue. Continue verse 18. It says, riches and honor are with me. Oh, I like that. Riches and honor. Who likes riches? I like riches. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. That last sentence is so important. In other words, you won't have to go to the devil to get riches. Riches and righteousness. Durable riches. Lasting riches. Amen. You're talking about your future. What is your future going to look like? Where are you going to be 10 years from now? Do you know? Can you know? Of course you can. Seek wisdom early. It says wisdom has riches and honor, durable riches and righteousness. It says with me is counsel and knowledge of witty inventions. That's what the King James says. Innovative ideas. Hey, go back. Let's see that. With me is counsel. I think it's, I don't know where it is. I don't have my Bible. Is this blessing you?
Yes.
Where he says, with me is counsel. 14. 14?
Yes.
Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding and I have strength. Oh my gosh. Counsel. You want to walk? You want to know what to do? You never want to get stranded? You want to have a smooth life? Yes, I said smooth life. Easy, peaceful life? Prosperous life? Is this something you want? Get wisdom. What is wisdom? God's word is God's wisdom. Get it in your heart. Get lost in this thing. I say, young people, get lost in this thing. This is how you secure your future. It says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. Hey, I am understanding. Hey, that's why he said wisdom is the principal thing. Because all these other things, knowledge, understanding, they're counsel, they're tied to wisdom. Strength is tied to wisdom. You know, 1 Corinthians, this is something I've been thinking a lot actually lately. I'll just share with you. But we're in a Bible study today, so I believe you'll understand what I'm saying. Amen? 1 Corinthians, it says, is it 1:24? It says, Christ has been made unto us both the wisdom of God and the power of God. The church has focused a lot on the power of God, and it's glorious and it's amazing. But Christ has been made unto us the wisdom of God first, and then the power of God. We haven't yet exploited the truth of that statement, the wisdom of God. Christ, we've seen the power of God, we've seen miracles, and we love that. And we see that here, and we'll see that tonight. Amen. God's going to touch you and help you, and you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're not worried about that one. But there's a side of God. Christ has been made unto us. Two things. The wisdom. Can someone help me? Google? 1 Corinthians 1:30, right? Christ has been made unto us the wisdom of God and the power of God. So you say, what wisdom it has? Wisdom has riches and honor. So let's continue that. Let's finish that chapter. Is that okay?
Yes.
That might be what we do today. Is that good?
Yes.
All right, let's go to verse, I think we're at 18.
Yeah.
18. It says, my fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. In other words, I have money with me. If you get me, you get money. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment. Verse 21. That I may, listen. Go back one verse. Verse 20, back. One more. That's 20. Okay, good. I lead in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the path of judgment. 21. Listen. 21. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. Do you love wisdom?
Yes.
Do you love the word of God?
Yes.
You see, that's why we say love the word of God. He says, I will cause. This is wisdom speaking. The word of God is wisdom. So the word of God is saying, I will cause those that love the word of God to inherit substance. And I will fill their treasures. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We're talking about how to secure your future. Go for wisdom. Say, go for wisdom.
Go for wisdom.
Yes, go for the word of God. We talked about developing a vibrant spiritual life. A vibrant spiritual life includes a voracious hunger and thirst for the knowledge of God. Are you listening to the words that I'm using? A voracious hunger and thirst for the word of God. Not a passive desire for the word of God where you wake up in the morning and you know how people do it. I've been here, I've done it. I wake up in the morning. I wake up in the morning. And my phone is here, so I pick it up and I slide my iPhone thing, and I'm looking at my notifications, right? Probably Instagram is gonna pop up first. Then the moment I press that Instagram, I've lost like 30 minutes of my life, just gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I talking? Can someone relate?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then I probably feel guilty. So while I'm doing that, I'll probably open my Spotify and play a worship playlist. Turn my Bluetooth speaker on, you know, just to help me out.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
Some people are laughing because it happens to you for real. Right? So I'll play my worship playlist and then slowly get myself on my knees next to my bed and, you know, force myself to pray in tongues. Usually takes me like an hour and a half to wake up, honestly. I wake up like when I'm going to the shower and everything. I play loud music and I wake up everybody. That's when I'm like, okay. But, hey, David said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul thirsts for you. It does not happen automatically. Let me tell you that. The hunger for God doesn't happen automatically. Are you listening? I'm trying to help you. Okay? We're talking about developing developing a hunger and a thirst. A voracious hunger for the things of God. It doesn't happen automatically. You don't get it by doing my morning routine. Hello? It doesn't happen automatically. You pick up your iPhone, and I do this. I set an alarm, a continuous alarm. I am going to be in prayer for 1 hour at midnight every day. I don't care whether I'm tired, whether I don't feel like it, whether I have to wake up at 5 a.m. It does not matter. It makes no difference. I am gonna be praying. Listen to me. It's a conscious decision and a conscious effort. When I wake up, I am going to read the word of God. Whether I like it, whether I feel like it, whether I understand it, it doesn't make no difference. I'm going to spend 30 minutes in my word. I'm programming myself. I remember, this is 23, so this is what, 6 years ago. January, 6 years ago. Consciously programming myself for the things of God. Didn't feel like it. Day one. Didn't feel like day two. Never felt like it. Was in college. Wake up in the morning. Pray. Worship. Read my word. Go to class. Finish classes. Come back to my room. Play songs of worship for an hour. That I just forced myself. You see? Secure your future now. There's a reason you're hearing this message now. There's a reason you're here tonight. God wants to help you to secure your future. There's a reason I'm even talking about these things, because God wants to show you something. I did that for 31 days. By the time I got to day 31, it had been so ingrained in me that it felt awkward doing any other thing. Does that make sense? It felt awkward and weird if I didn't read my word, if I didn't pray. And like what the Bible says, they that seek me early shall find me. I'm telling you, I found God. I had an encounter with the Lord that changed my life forever, 6 years ago. But it started with conscious, deliberate pursuit of God. And many of us are wanting God to help us. Many of us are crying out for God to change our lives, but we haven't put any conscious, deliberate pursuit for the things of God. We take God lightly. We take God passively. You know, we take our word study lightly and passively. You're in Bible school. Bible school students, sometimes I just laugh. You're here for this very purpose. You better get serious. I don't know who I'm rebuking, but it's all in love. Amen. Get serious. Get serious with God. Secure your future. Secure the next 20 years of your life. Hallelujah. Go for wisdom. Go for the word of God. Be radical. The world only responds to radical people anyway. You know what I'm trying to say? Being normal has never... Unfortunately, that's the truth. If you're normal, you don't make an impact. Amen. And you're already here, so they already think you're crazy, so might as well get with it. Amen? All right, I'll try to go back my message. Are we learning something tonight? Number four. Is it number four or number three? Jeez. Hey. Number three, live on purpose. Say, live on purpose. Daniel chapter number 1, verse 8. And Daniel, let's read it together. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposed in his heart. Live a life of purpose. What have you purposed in your heart? Oh, I was reading a scripture. Oh, let me show it to you. Daniel, Philippians chapter 3, in the Amplified, verse 10. Hallelujah. When people look at your life, do they know what you're about? That's a good question to ask. Do they know what you're about? When we look at your life, do you know what are you about? It's a good question to ask yourself. Your purpose should drive you, should determine what you do, what time you wake up, how long you stay up. Live on purpose. Live a life of purpose and meaning. God created you for a purpose. Find it out. Find out what it is. And live it out. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I just saw this today, actually. It says, for my determined purpose, Amplified, AMPC, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. I like that part. He said, my determined purpose. What is a determined purpose? What are you about? What's driving your life? What's helping you? What's the key factor to your decisions? What's the thing that's driving your decisions? Young people, are you listening to me? Let me help you out. Why do you take that job? Why did you take that job? What's the purpose? Is it tied to a purpose? You see, when you begin to live a life of purpose, your steps are ordered. A man of God wrote a book. I read it when I was young. Purpose-driven life. It changed my life. I'm not going to say his name because he just went woke. So, and we found that out a couple months ago here, actually. But it was a good book. Purpose-driven life. My determined purpose. Daniel says, I purpose in my heart not to defile myself. I purpose in my, when everybody was going in this direction, I purpose in my heart, I'm going to follow God. That's it. When everybody was eating the king's table, the king's delicacies, the king's wine, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself. I'm here for a purpose. In the Bible, there are types of men that they call them the Nazarites. People who were separated unto God. For example, Samuel was a Nazarite. There's a difference between Nazarite and Nazarene, right? Jesus Christ was a Nazarene, but he was also a Nazarite. Men and women that are consecrated unto God. Men and women whose life was designed for a specific purpose. Are you hearing me? Have you found out what your life was designed for? Tan, have you found out what God created you for? Have you found out why you're here? Is that realization controlling your decisions? Is it determining who you relate with? Is it determining what you're reading, what you're watching? Are you consumed with purpose? We admire men and women today who are consumed with purpose, whether it's godly purpose or ungodly purpose. We follow men and women who live a life of purpose. Whether it's godly or ungodly, they have a purpose for life. They're pushing something. That's the truth. They have a vision that they're pushing, that they're pressing onto, whether it's of God or it's not of God. Have you found out your purpose? Are you living out your purpose? Live a life of purpose. Man, all these points are so powerful. I could teach a class on all these points. I'm trying to go through them. I'm trying to hand you the keys to securing your future. Amen. I'm trying to hand you keys to securing your future. The first one was what? Maintain a what? A quality spiritual life. A quality, vibrant spiritual life. What was the second one?
Maintain quality relationships.
What's the third one?
Live
a life of purpose. Live on purpose. Hallelujah. A life of no purpose is a life of no profit. Did you catch that? A life of no purpose is a life of no profit. When life is without a bearing, it becomes a burden. When your life has no direction, it becomes a burden. You get frustrated with yourself. You're not going anywhere. But God is equipping you tonight. Amen. Amen? Number four, develop your potential. Say, develop your potentials. Come on, say it loud. Say, develop your potentials. How do you secure your future? You develop your potentials. What are the things that God has given unto you? Seest thou a man diligent in his work, he shall sit before kings and not before mere men. Develop your potential. Are you good at something? What are the giftings that God has given you, Maggie? What are the gifts of God inside of you? God made you with a lot of gifts. What are they? Have you discovered them? Have you discovered them? What are you doing about it? That's the better question. Amen. Develop your potential. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 16. Proverbs 18, verse 16. It says, a man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Amen. A man's gift will make room for him and bring him before great men. Proverbs 22, 29. Hallelujah. Say this to me. Say, Father, help me develop my potential. Father, help me develop my potential. Hallelujah. Do you see a man who excels at his work? He will stand before kings. Proverbs 22, 29. He will stand before kings, and he will not stand before unknown men. I'll make this man a wonder, a man who develops his potential. Hallelujah. Your gift determines your lift. Hallelujah. Your potential is your vehicle to your destination. Don't ignore it. Your potential is your vehicle to your destination. David's potential, I like this, brought him before the palace of Saul, the king. His potential brought him there. David's potential made him a king. David's mere gift, before he fought Goliath, his gift brought him to the temple of, to the palace of the king. He could play a harp. He was skillful at that. It brought him before the palace of the king. What are the things that God has made you skillful in that you haven't used? You haven't showcased? This is the year to do that. That's how you secure your future. If you've listened to stories of people who we admire, at certain point, someone just saw their gift. Wow. And that's why they were elevated in life. Amen. Your gift determines your lift. Your potential is your vehicle to your destination. Amen. Number five, this is important. Maximize life's opportunities. Live with a sense of urgency. Live with a sense of urgency. Seize the moment. That's number five. Maximize life's opportunities. Live with a sense of urgency and seize the moment. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 16. Ephesians chapter number 5, verse 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are what? Are evil. Do you live with a sense of urgency? When I first met Pastor Jonathan, he said something to me that has never, it almost still strikes me every time I think about it. He said something to me. He said it to me three times in one service. He said, if Jesus was going to come back in the next 3 years, all right, what would it matter if you're 80 years old or if you're 18 years old? You have to accomplish what God has called you in the next 3 years. So live with a sense of urgency. That's what he told me. Get moving. That's the word he used. Get moving. If the Lord is going to come in the next 3 years, what does it matter? Why are you waiting until you're 50 or 40 to do whatever God's called you to do? Do you see what I'm saying? If God's going to come in the next 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. What does it matter if you're 18? What does it matter if you're 50? It makes no difference. He's coming in 3 years. So get moving. Do the thing that God has put in your heart. Seize the moment. Seize the moment. Live with a sense of urgency. Number one, an urgency to fulfill God's purpose on your life. Number two, very important, an urgency to bring as many people as you can to knowing Jesus. Are you listening to me? Wherever you're going, wherever you are, live with a sense of urgency. Tomorrow is not promised. That's the truth. It's sad, but it's true. Jesus said, people use it out of context. Jesus said, whatever you want to do, he was speaking to Judas Iscariot. He said, do quickly. He also said in the proverb, he says, if you're able to do something today, don't wait until tomorrow. Do it today. Are you living with a sense of urgency? I went to, this was when? 2 or 3 months ago. Christmas. When was it? I went to a funeral of a 24-year-old young man. Do you know what that does to you? In 1 week, I went to like 3 funerals. Are you listening to me? You know, when God, when Isaac blessed Jacob, you know, when Jacob cheated his brother into the blessing, right? When he cheated his brother into the blessing and took the blessing, when Esau came to his father, he said, Dad, I'm here. Then the Bible says his father shook and trembled, knowing that he had given the blessing to another child, right? Then Esau cried to his father and said, is there not any other thing to give to me? And obviously Isaac replied, said, I have blessed him, and yea, he shall be blessed. But he said something. He says, when the day where you get agitated, when you've had enough, when the level of urgency has reached its apex, it says, you will break his yoke off you. You see, some of you are waiting for God to do something, but you're not yet agitated enough. You see, you're not... Urgency does something to you. When you get desperate for a result in your life, it says, the day you get agitated, you shall break his yoke. So long as you're not agitated, he'll always be your master and rule over you. But the day you get agitated, the day you get desperate for a change is the day where you break his yoke. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
So the breakthrough you think that will come in 10 years, it can come in 3 years if you get agitated enough. Are you listening to me? Cars. You, can I pray for you? I don't know, I'm seeing cars. I can't ignore it. Cars. Praise God. The day you get agitated. What is that? Yeah,
like exotic cars. I don't know.
I feel like God is going to, I don't know if that's a harsh desire or something that intrigues you or interests you, but God is going to open a way into that. Amen? Early. Praise God. Amen. That's it. Amen. Praise God. The day you get agitated, you'll break his yoke. All right, I'll go quickly. In the next 10 minutes. Amen. Develop your potential. Maximize life's opportunities. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't procrastinate. Say, don't procrastinate. Don't procrastinate. I need to tell myself that. Don't procrastinate. Get moving. Get moving. Say, get moving. Do that thing that God has called you to do. Don't wait. Don't wait. Number six, make a difference on others. Oh, hallelujah. What a great example we have in our master. He made a difference everywhere he went. Everyone he encountered, he made a difference. Make a difference in others. Live a life of purpose and make a difference in others. Acts chapter 13, media. 34? Praise God. Make a difference in others. Make an impact on people. A great man of God says, you can always get anything you want in life if you assist many people to get the thing you want in life. Did you hear what I just said? You can always get anything in life if you learn how to assist as many people as you can to get that thing you want in life. Amen. Acts 34. I said 10 minutes. I still have 8 minutes, okay? I read from verse 36. 13:36. For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on and slept. In other words, he died and was laid unto his fathers and saw no corruption. Isn't that amazing? The Bible says David served his generation. David served his generation. David served his generation. Are you going to serve a generation? How many people are you going to help? Life is futile when our life isn't used to help other people. It's meaningless. Living for yourself. The American dream is amazing. But it's not the kingdom dream. The Bible spoke to Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. He says, I will bless you and I will make you a blessing. That's how God works. Living for other people. David served. He spent his life to serve his generation. He had a message for his generation. He was helping people in his generation, just like Jesus. The Bible says everywhere he went, he did good and he healed all who were oppressed by the devil. What are you doing now to help people? You see, these things that I'm sharing with you aren't things that you start implementing in your future. I'm talking about now. These are keys you can apply now. Do something to help people. Do something for others. Oh, I'm being reminded of things. Someone said, if the gospel doesn't remove selfishness from your heart, you haven't encountered God. If it's all about me, give me, give me, give me, because my name is Jimmy. There's a song, by the great man of God, actually, in Africa. He sings, he says, spend my life. Right? He sings, spend my life and reap the nations for you. In other words, use me as a currency. Use me as a commodity. Spend my life to fulfill your will and your counsel. Amen. I believe you guys are old enough to take what I'm saying. You know, It's very important. I'm teaching you how to secure your future. You can know what tomorrow is like. You can be at peace and confident knowing that my tomorrow is secure. God didn't leave us in a mystery. No. He says, if you do these things, your tomorrow will be secured. Hallelujah. So, help as many people as you want, as you can. Help as many people as you can. All right. 3 points in 3 minutes. All right. Make a difference on others. Make an impact on people. Number seven. This is important. Number seven. Listen, young people. Listen. Avoid strife. It's simple, but it's so powerful. You know, avoid strife. Acts chapter 16. Paul says, I've exercised myself to be void of any offense of any man. In other words, I'm living my life in such a way that I'm at peace with people. Avoid strife. Strife is not good. Those who strife never excel in life. An invitation to bitterness is an invitation to backwardness. Did you guys catch that? An invitation to bitterness is an invitation to backwardness. People will offend you, but learn how to empty your heart. Sometimes you do it through, what do you say, venting, which is, you know. I feel like ladies do that more than guys, right? But it's good. Guys do it too. But even that with caution, because, you know, sometimes it doesn't help. Learning to pour your heart to the Lord is important. Avoiding strife. Let go. The Bible speaks of Jesus in Isaiah 53. He says he was taken to the slaughterhouse. It says he was accused, yet he opened not his mouth. Right? He was beaten, yet he opened not his mouth. You see, I like what Pastor Kofi says a lot. Whenever we have like these meetings. I think he told the Bible school students the same thing. I was in class when he was giving them a correction session. He says, you're not that important. You don't like to hear that, but it's the truth. If you go today, you'll be replaced tomorrow and won't remember you. Sometimes it's good in living with that mentality. Because like some people think too highly of themselves. That's the reason for offense. You think too highly. Romans chapter 12. Last scripture. Then we're done. Romans chapter 12, okay? Verse number 3 says, for I say through the grace given unto me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one the measure of faith. I say unto you, not to think of yourself more highly. Young people tend to do that a lot. But don't be like that. Think soberly. Depend on God. Something about depending on God makes you. You see, when you learn to acknowledge that wherever I am in life now, it is by the grace of God. So, like David said, who is man? What can man do unto me? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid of? You see, when you're conscious that it's only by the help of God, my help, like David says, I said, my eyes upon the heavens, my help comes from the Lord. That mindset and that heart posture rids you of any ego, any pride. God is the one who helped me. I am who I am today by the grace of God. Am I talking to someone? God is the one who lifts me. God is the one who can lift me. God is the one who can promote me. He said promotion cometh not from the right or from the north or from the west, from the south or from the east, but promotion comes from the Lord. So avoid strife. Don't be a contentious person. Amen. Good. Last one, be committed to kingdom service. This is probably one, the second of the most important points. Be committed. Say committed. Committed. Be committed. Be committed. Be committed to kingdom service. We said live a life of purpose. And your purpose must be connected to kingdom service. Say must. Live a life of purpose. And be committed to kingdom service. Matthew chapter number 6, verse 33. What does it say? Matthew 6, 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Probably one of the staple scriptures of this church. And all these other things that the Gentiles are seeking shall be added unto you. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall take away sickness from the midst of you. But it's contingent upon serving God. You shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall exalt you above all the nations of the earth. Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, if you are diligent to observe everything he has commanded you, he shall make you the head and the tail. He shall bless you, and all these blessings shall come upon you, contingent on our heart of service. Hallelujah. Finding God's purpose for your life. It's a sobering message, but it's important. How to secure your future. How to secure your future. How to secure your spouse's future. How to secure your children's future. A life committed to the kingdom. That's actually one of my hearts. See, when I think about family, moment of transparency. I think about a family that's dedicated fully to serving kingdom purpose. The husband, wife, children, we're all in it 100%. Kingdom takes priority above anything. You never put God first and be last in anything in life. Never. So one of the ways of securing your future is being committed to the work of God, to the kingdom of God. What are you doing now in your life that's proof that you are committed to the kingdom of God? Are you hearing me? What are you doing in your school? What are you doing in high school? Are you still one of those who's still ashamed about Jesus? You're still ashamed to be identified with people who are saved and radical and fire for God? Or are you with no shame, totally in love with Jesus, and you're not scared about it? Everybody should know. I want everybody to know. I'm in a mission. This school belongs to Jesus. Amen. You see, I'm telling you, Pastor John says, when you mean business with God like that, God means business with you. Amen. When you mean business with God, God means business with you. When you're committed to his purpose, he's committed to your advancement. Hallelujah. He's committed to your lifting. He's committed to your blessing. When you're committed to his vision, he's committed to your vision. Hallelujah. Be committed to kingdom purpose. The blessing of God is tied to service. When you serve God, I like this. When you serve God, God services you. Did you catch that? In other words, God takes care of you. When you die. Kind of awkward talking about that in young adult service. But when you do, the only thing that goes with you is your service. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you, Jesus. So, quickly go over them. Maintain a quality what? Spiritual life. Maintain what? Quality relationships with people. Number three. Come on, let me hear. Live on what?
Live on.
Number four.
Live on your
potentials. Come on. What? Where's everybody else? Number four.
Develop your potential.
Number five. Good. Maximize life's opportunities. Live with a sense of what?
Urgency
and what? Seize the moment. Number six.
Make a difference in others.
Make, add this to it, make an impact on people. Number seven.
Avoid strife.
Number eight.
Be
committed to kingdom service. I want to challenge you tonight. Do something for the Lord. Oh yes, come. I want the young adults, when you come on Tuesday, you're coming with testimonies. Oh, I talked to this person in school. I talked to this person in college. In class, I talked to this person. At work, I told this person about Jesus. That's how it's supposed to be like. Oh, I shared this. I had this opportunity to speak in my class, and I talked about Jesus. I preached the gospel to them. I helped this person in the street. I showed them the right way. I impacted someone's life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I impacted someone's life. I touched someone's life. I helped someone heal from pain. I prayed for someone who was sick and they were made whole. Oh, that's how it's supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Young people on the move for the Lord. Young people on fire for God. Young people securing their futures by putting the kingdom of God first. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible promises when you do that, he says he will make you a peculiar people. Amen.
Amen.
He'll separate you from the bunch. You won't be ordinary when you put God first. No one who ever puts God first is ordinary. Their life is a wonder. Their life is a wonder. And your life can be a wonder. Amen. Your life can be a wonder. Your life will be a wonder. Amen. Your life will be a wonder to many generations. You, like David, like Moses, you will serve your generation. Hallelujah. You will serve the will of God in your generation. God will use you. God will use your giftings, your potentials. That's right. They're not too small. They're not too insignificant.
Amen.
God put them in there.
Yes.
Remember what Paul told Timothy? Stir up those gifts. Fan them into flames. Use them. Exercise them. They only grow by exercising. That's true. Amen. Don't be ashamed. Hallelujah. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of your passion. Don't be ashamed of your zeal. Don't be ashamed of your convictions. The world tries to strip you of convictions. The world tries to strip you of values. Be different. Determine in your heart like Daniel to be different. Purpose in your heart to not defile yourself with the things of the world. The Bible says you are not of this world. You are not of this world. You are from God. Don't live your life like the world. All right, young people? Young ladies, don't dress like the world. Don't present yourself like the world. Be different. Be elegant. Be stylish. Carry God on you. Like Esther, carry favor on your life. Young men, be strong. Be of moral character. Be of integrity. Be of hard work.
Am I talking to somebody? Yes. Be different. Say, I'm going to be different.
I'm going to be different.
I'm not going to be like everybody else. I'm going to be different. The world likes difference. That's the truth. The world likes difference. I'm not going to be conformed to this world. I'm going to be transformed by the renewal of my mind. I'm going to take God's word in my heart and change my life and be different, transformed. Hallelujah. I'm going to live a vibrant spiritual life. I'm going to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Hallelujah.
To get daily teaching from Augustine and to follow our event schedule around the world, please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Be sure to subscribe to the Proof Producers podcast. By partnering with Proof Producers, you will help us take the saving and healing power of Jesus to the world. Your giving changes lives forever. For more information, visit us online at AugustineMpemba.com. Thank you for your prayer and financial support.